Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this past week, we had the annual political ritual of the State of the Union Address. And whether you like President Biden or you dislike him, I think the general sense is that he gave a pretty good address. He engaged his audience, he was loose and relaxed, and frankly, no one's going to remember anything he said. And that will be like most of his predecessors, because people generally don't remember the State of the Union Address. Now, this is a big ritual in our country. And the Constitution says that the president should be reporting to Congress on the State of the Union. There is no requirement that the president appears in person. And no president showed up in person to deliver the State of the Union until Woodrow Wilson. Wilson did something that no one did before. And his predecessor, Theodore Roosevelt, who was a master of communication, was really ticked off that he didn't have that idea. But let's leave the past behind us. So we can ask ourselves today, what is the state of our union? But before we do that, I want us to reflect on another form of presidential communication, the presidential farewell. And the passage that Amy read from Deuteronomy is purportedly Moses' valedictory address to the people of Israel. Now we know that Moses did not then leave the stage and get on an airplane and fly to some warm location. According to tradition, we don't know what happened to Moses. He just died in the desert and his grave was never to be found. But his words have stayed with us for a long, long time. And imagine the people of Israel all gathered there on the plains of Moab, and Moses wanted to give them his final words. Now, Moses had a lot of experience leading this unruly crowd. They'd been together for more than 40 years. And frankly, Moses must have been a skilled diplomat. He must have been a good conciliator. He must have had a hell of a lot of patience, because he stuck with his work year in and year out, trying to get the children of Israel through the desert and into the promised land. And now they're at the River Jordan and they can look over and see their final destination. Well, we're at something of the River Jordan too. And our desert is a pandemic. And I'm not going to say that coronavirus is not with us anymore. It is still here. It will be with us forever. But we don't live a pandemic routine anymore. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be caring for one another. And we do have a number of older members of our congregation. And frankly, our society's willingness to ignore the needs of some of its most vulnerable members is something that should give us pause. But we are gathering together and we are looking to the future. So what do we want for the future? Well, I think Moses gave some good advice, and so did Jesus. And Moses tells the people that they have a choice to make between life and death. Now, I'm not going to say that we're facing that kind of existential choice as a community. It is something we each face every day, but it's something that we should be thinking about. What are our priorities going to be? Do we want to follow God's path, or do we want to follow our own path? So I told you I was going to make a couple of Super Bowl references today last week, and the first is that $16.2 billion will be spent by Americans on the Super Bowl today. $16.2 billion. Why? On what? Wings. That's a lot of chicken wings. But think about what's going on in Turkey and Syria right now. And the people who are still climbing out of the rubble, who people are going to need help. And I'm not telling everyone you've got to give everything up to the poor and the needy. But do we need to spend $16.2 billion on chicken wings? That's a choice that we make as individuals and a community. Even more sobering is that 40% of Americans will bet on the game. 40%. And of that 40%, 49% will bet on websites or on phone apps. So think about how easy we've made it to gamble. And during the game, there will be some former NFL players who are really respected who are going to be encouraging you to bet. What's going on here? Sure, getting something for nothing sounds like a great idea. But living our lives in the hope that we'll get something for nothing? That doesn't work. And so this is where I'm going to take you to our founding document. Well, it's not our founding document, it's our annual report. But if you look at it, you'll see that a lot is going on here. And I want to thank everybody who has contributed to the mission and ministry of this church over this past year. But I want to let you know, we still have some spots open for volunteer positions. And if you see a vacancy and you feel called to volunteer, please let me know. And we'll talk about getting you involved. Now, I know some of you are looking at the floor, and some of you are studying that corner of the mural. I'm not going to point at you. If I were in your seats, I would probably be doing the same thing. But being a member of the church community and expecting someone else to do everything is wanting to get something for nothing. And that's not just an issue for us as a volunteer-driven organization. It's a concern for us as people of faith. So you've all heard the slogan, you get what you put into it. That's true. And some of you will support us financially, and some will support us with your talents, and some will do both. And I say thank you. But think about the choices we make going ahead. So in this coming year, we really need to figure out what it's going to be like to be a church in the post-pandemic era. We are not the only congregation that is asking this question. Church communities across the country dealt with this over the last couple of years. And I'm going to go to the Prepare to Serve program later this month, where a number of panels will be discussing this question about what church can be like in the future. And we can see that part of it's this hybrid model we're doing. But this is where I'm going to be a cranky old man. And I'm going to say that it's great that we have got people worshiping with us on Zoom. But frankly, being on Zoom is not the same as being here. If you're on Zoom, you don't have a chance to talk with one another. If you're on Zoom, you don't have a chance to hug one another. If you're on Zoom, of course, you don't have a chance to get a cold or pick up a virus bug. So I understand why people are on Zoom. But recognize that there is a cost to that. So my hope is that at our annual meeting and in the months beyond, we will be able to figure out what it is going to be like to be a community that is vital and active in this post-pandemic world. It's not something that's going to happen by itself in the future. And I've said this before, change always happens. And if we don't choose the change, change will happen to us. And when we let things happen to us, it's often not good. So yes, we have to make choices. And I don't know about you, but I've made some choices in my life that I regret. I wish I'd done differently. But one of the great things about our faith is that we're all given a chance to repent, to turn around, to do things differently. Albert Einstein, who's probably the smartest person who ever lived, famously said that the definition of insanity is doing things again and again and expecting different results. Einstein was onto something. And this is obvious, but Einstein was a pretty smart guy. We should not be doing the same dumb things over and over again. And earlier during the children's message, I referred to people doing stupid things. And I know some parents may have issues with that kind of language, but frankly, it's something we need to confront. We all do stupid things. Every single one of us, me included. But do we need to be defined by our mistakes? Do we need to be defined by our poor choices? No. We have the opportunity to do things differently. And today at our annual meeting, my hope is that everyone will be there and we will have a good spirit. And yes, we're meeting on Zoom, but we're doing that so everyone has a chance to participate on an equal footing. But really, this church needs you. God wants you. And I'm grateful that you're here on a Sunday morning and not in bed or watching the talk shows on TV. And I hope you're getting something out of it. And I hope you get something out of being a member of this faith community. And I hope you get something out of the knowledge that this faith community is contributing to our larger community. So again, I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl. And for those who don't know what the Super Bowl is, it is a can collection that will be given to our friends at Listen and then distributed in the community. Things have gotten expensive, and I appreciate the donations. But the people who are going to be recipient of that generosity are people in real need. So I'm not asking to give up something precious like gold or a dozen eggs. I'm asking to give up a can of soup. And you know, it's great to hear Ron give us the update that we're now at 441 cans. But let's get to 500. Let's set a new record. Let's set the bar higher for ourselves so that next year we can be pushing to go even further. Yes, it would be great that we lived in a world where nobody needed to benefit from a food pantry. I would love that. But we don't live in that world. We have to work to make a different world. God's not going to do it for us. God gave us hands. God gave us eyes. God gave us feet. God gave us mouths. And we should use them in God's service. And yes, part of that service is coming to worship or participating online. But part of it is also helping God's people and doing so joyfully and knowing that you're making a real difference in people's lives. So we've got a choice to make. We can choose life or death. It's that simple. What are you going to choose? Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the choices you have put before us. Please give us the faith and wisdom to choose wisely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.